T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese. A piece of news to pass along earlier today. Evangelist Billy Graham passes away at the age of 99. One of the world's, as it says on Philly.com, best-known Protestant evangelist who really the only thing I here's what I remember about Billy Graham. Every time I hear Billy Graham's name, I think about Reggie White and Jerome Brown, because the day Jerome Brown died, it wasn't like on Twitter where you know within minutes that there's a police report or something like that. Back then in 1992, I guess it was, there was at Veterans Stadium, there was a Billy Graham, what do they even call him? Not a convention, but he would have a service where in Veterans Stadium where there'd be 100,000 people there to watch it. So Reggie was there.
Right.
And Jerome, I guess, earlier that day had died in the car accident, and news was just getting to Reggie. He told the world at the Billy Graham thing.
Revival?
Is that what it is?
No, I don't know.
I don't know either. He was dubbed the national chaplain and America's pastor. I just remember that he would, where he would go, he would, 100,000 people are right there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's what I always remember anytime I hear Billy Graham's name, is that Reggie was there to speak at what he was doing at Veterans Stadium, and he just found out while on the field that Jerome had died.
Yeah.
And that's how everybody found out. I mean, think about that. You're going back a long time. Yeah. He told the world Jerome died.
No technology back then. No cell phones. None of that then.
The news didn't even know yet. Reggie had found out being a personal friend and a teammate of Jerome.
Yeah.
So, he died 99. I'd sign up for 99 right now. Would you rather be 99 or 90 when you died?
I don't really think it matters at that point.
No, that's what I'm saying. The last 9 years?
Yeah. Probably being cared for at that time.
Yeah. No, all your savings has been.
Well, yeah. I'm pretty sure at that time, my relatives would probably want me dead at 90 as opposed to 99.
They're like, hold on. What is that? How much is that left that RRA? That reverse mortgage, how much?
Are they going to trot out Ike in a wheelchair for the 60th anniversary of the 2004 Eagles? And the kids are going to be asking, Mom, who's that?
No, when they won the Super Bowl, that officially ended any type of reunion for any other conference.
Will we still do the 93 Phils?
Will they though?
There's a 25th anniversary this year. They'll celebrate that.
Will they?
No.
Well, you know why they might? Because and we love the Phillies. We're Philly Station, WIP. But they're still not going to be a contending team, at least on paper.
Right, so they may celebrate the 93 team.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
See Crucker come out there.
Yeah, for some reason I don't see the 04 team being celebrated.
No.
No, I don't.
No,
a matter of fact, I don't think we want to be celebrated anymore.
Yeah, you guys are out.
Yeah, we had our run.
Yeah, forget you guys.
We had our run.
I'm telling you, and we talked about this before the Super Bowl. It kind of takes you guys off the hook.
No, I agree. I agree. Nothing will erase the pain from those conference title losses, particularly that Tampa loss. I think that will always be one of the worst losses in our Philadelphia sports memory.
I say the worst for me.
Right.
Until the Super Bowl. But yeah, that was the worst for me. Last game of the vet, I was there.
Yep.
Broke my heart, man.
Yep. I think it does take away a little bit of the pain, right? Because what hurts so much about that era is that, A, it was an era that was good enough to win.
Absolutely.
It was an era that was good enough to win, and the era is defined by those defeats more than it is the wins that we had, even getting to the Super Bowl. Getting to the Super Bowl, it didn't erase the conference championship losses.
No.
So that era is really defined
by... No, you needed to win the Super Bowl to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's unfortunate, but that's something we have to live with for those of us that played in that era. But this Super Bowl takes away a little bit of the sting. It does. I think it takes away the sting. And quite frankly, if it doesn't for particular fans that are still holding on to those losses, then that's sad because you don't really get the full enjoyment of what happened on February 4th. Like, you're never going to allow yourself to fully enjoy anything. Like, to me, that lifted a burden off of my shoulders, a lot of my teammates' shoulders. It should have. Maybe not some individually, but I think as a unit, as an era, I think, and that's why I was so thankful to these guys for doing it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what it's all about is bringing a Super Bowl to this city.
Yeah, personally, it would have been nice to win a Super Bowl and have the ring.
Would have loved to have been able to do it.
Yep.
But hell, I got to see my team win it.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I got to see my team win it. Yes, sir.
All right, so check it out. Ike and I both, how many miles is it for you to get in? You're all highway miles for the most part.
Yeah.
About 30?
Yeah, maybe about 30. Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little less.
I think I'm 35 from Collegeville. All highway miles, which is bad depending on when you're driving. For the most part, when we come in, I don't hit any traffic at all.
I'm always good.
It's about an hour getting home, so there's more traffic, 55 minutes an hour.
Yep.
But so today I'm leaving. I'm like two traffic lights away from getting on 422, and I'm at a traffic light. I already know what my commute is ahead. There's roving PennDOT crews on 422 and on 76. So I'm going to need to bypass 76 and take the blue route south to avoid it, which is more miles, but I would avoid it. 422, I can't do anything about it. So I know it's taking me about an hour to get in, and I'm really not in the mood, and more into my wife's reaction to the tattoo coming up in a second. I really wasn't in the mood to be rushing into work. So I was kind of enjoying the weather, sunroof open, listening to the radio, and just going to enjoy the ride in. So I'm at a traffic light. I'm first at the traffic light, and I get I'm just sitting there. I'm not looking at my phone or anything, and it goes from red to green, and I... Not quickly to where if I'm in a hurry, but I take my foot off of the gas or off of the brake to put it on the gas, and I got a beep. I wasn't looking down. I wasn't not paying attention. I wasn't being overly zealous and trying to get on the... I wasn't being like I am sometimes.
Right.
I wasn't in a hurry. I just regular speed was... And I got the beep. And at first, I didn't believe that I got beeped at because it wasn't even a half of a Mississippi.
Right.
The guy beeped at me. What is the proper procedure? What is the rule for beeping at somebody at a traffic light?
You got to give them at least 2 seconds. For me, I do.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then not a long beep.
Just a quick bop.
You don't lay on your horn after that.
No, because I don't have time to be dealing with road rage and somebody recognizes me. And I've had that happen before, too.
Yeah, you have to look out.
Road rage, they give you the middle finger. It's like, oh, my bad, Ike, what's up?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I just got the middle finger without, what's up?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten that before. So, I don't like to deal with the road rage. So, you give them a quick little bump, bump.
Yeah, see, what I do is I look, I when someone's looking down, even from behind. Everybody's on their phone at the traffic light. I know what they're doing. So, they're down. So, I'll give them a second or two, and I'll give the little beep. More or less, you just be like, hey, look up.
Yep.
It's green. What did this guy want me to do? I'm not going to start going. Like, he was probably looking at the light turning red and wanted,
was ready to go.
I'm not even paying attention to it.
Yeah, I hate those people. They're looking at the other light turn red. And they're like, yes, time to go. Like, dude, we're not in a drag race.
Rolling up, getting in the intersection. Right? That guy. That was not me today. Sometimes it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm in a hurry.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I'm in a hurry.
But, dude, don't beep at me. Today was not the day to beep at me, and he gave me a little bit too long of a beep, and I wasn't yelling or anything, but I put my arms up in the air, and being like really, and now I'm shouting.
That's how they want you to take off. Yeah, as soon as the light turns green, that's how they want you to peel out.
Right, that's what this guy wanted me to do today. So now I'm yelling, looking in the rearview mirror with my arms up as I'm going 10, 15 miles an hour, getting started. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, didn't even turn green. Like, and now I'm mad.
Right.
And then he actually went 422 west, and I was going east. So there was no, but I wouldn't be looking for him after that. But I mean, seriously, really, everybody just calm down.
Like, especially on a lovely day like today.
I wasn't in any rush to get down here, bro.
You know?
And here's another thing. And then we'll get back to it. If you're in the left-hand lane and you want to do 100 miles an hour, you can do 100 miles an hour. If I'm going 75, allow me to get over to the right. Don't expect me to cut another car off to get out of your way. I'll get over. Right. I'm paying attention to what you're doing. But at least give me a little bit of time to safely get over. Because I'll let you. You can go. I'll go right back over to the left-hand
side. You
want
to be a speed demon? Go ahead.
Go for it. I understand the rules of the road. Right? But just let me get over. Don't come flying up and ride my car.
Your tail,
God. You do that on your bike, Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, give us one of those horns.
You're like, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Honky, honky. I think I have one on my board here. Matt, Matt in Danielsville. Matt.
Yes, how y'all doing?
How are you, Matt?
What up, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm still stoked from the Super Bowl. But
me
I got to play devil's advocate here right now. So Ozzie Newsome, the Cleveland Browns front office called Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
They're going to offer the first pick, the fourth pick, say even the third pick in next year's draft. Do you pull the trigger for Nick Foles?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, look what happened with Ricky Williams, what they gave up for him. If Cleveland is desperate for a quarterback.
They can sign A.J. McCarron, who they tried to trade for last year, and get him for free.
Or guess what? They can draft Sam Darnold or
they're not
Josh
do that.
Rosen.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, well, they have the fourth pick.
They got the first and the fourth pick. They may be able to draft both.
Matt, if your point is that if a team comes and offers maybe a first-round draft pick for Nick Foles, is that an offer you can't refuse?
No, I turn it down in a heartbeat, because as soon as you trade Foles away, your chances of making the playoffs are roughly 20%.
What?
There's no chance for Super Bowl. No chance.
I'm glad you're so sure of
that. What is this based on?
Because there's the talent. Sudfeld's not going to be good enough. Anybody out there in free agency, if you draft a quarterback, they're not going to pick it up like Carson Wentz. Even Carson Wentz needs a year to get acclimated to the NFL, the speed of the game, you know, so he get his precision passing down. There's no chance of making the Super Bowl if you give away Foles. But you can get a crazy load of draft picks.
You're not getting a crazy load of draft picks, man. That's where we're disagreeing.
Foles is worth it. He's a Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, he's not, because he's only under contract for one more year. You understand what I'm saying? Like if he was signed for 3 or 4 years under contract, I could see maybe him. That's why when Bill Polian says start with 2 1s and 2 2s.
2 1s and 2 2s. That's the open.
Nobody's doing that because he's under contract for one more year.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't make sense. Jimmy Garoppolo was worth a second round draft pick. He was only under contract for the rest of that season. That's the reason why he was worth a second. Garoppolo's a better prospect than Nick Foles at 29.
Yes.
Right? I mean, how many teams would rather have Garoppolo than Foles?
A lot.
Yeah, most.
Yeah.
Most would. But anyway, thank you for the phone call. Right there. 888-729. Oh, you know what? Hang on a second. I got to get Ethan. Ethan says trade Wentz. Ethan!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo!
What's up, Ethan?
Yo.
Hey, Johnny, did I just hear you say Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Foles? Come on, man.
Nope. I think you need to get the Q-tips out, Ethan, because that's not what I said.
Have some respect for the guy, would you?
Hold on a second.
Won us the Super Bowl.
Ethan, that's not what I said, though. You heard what I said, right?
Yeah, you said he was a better prospect. What has he ever won?
He hasn't won anything. That's why he's a prospect.
Well, hold on.
Okay, but here's my thing. Here's my thing with Wentz. See, I work as a bartender, so I talk sports just like you guys do every day. And I'm constantly telling my patrons, we need to trade Wentz. If Cleveland offers us the 1 and 4 pick, and maybe a second-round pick this year, next year, whatever, you trade Wentz in a heartbeat. The dude's coming off an ACL injury, and you just look at his stats compared to Foles. They've played roughly the same amount of games. Foles has played 30 games. Wentz has played 29. Foles has more touchdowns. Foles has less interceptions. He has a higher completion percentage. He has a better record. Uh-huh. He has a better record against playoff teams.
Uh-huh.
Not to mention he's the Super Bowl MVP, had one of the best postseasons in NFL history for a quarterback, uh-huh. and we're just going to ship him off? For a guy who's coming off an ACL, who's coming off, who's been hurt his whole career.
No, I think
I love Wentz.
Hold on, Ethan. We don't want to trade Nick Foles. You're not hearing us say that we want to trade Nick Foles. We want to keep Nick Foles around as security with Carson Wentz's
injury.
You want
to keep him as a backup, though. Yeah. I want him to be my starter.
Okay.
I want him to be my starter. And then you replenish the farm if you trade Wentz. That's the big thing.
Well, Ethan, let me ask you this, Ethan. I didn't. Where were you at after the Raiders game?
That was one game.
No. I'm asking, where were you at when we were
taking... I've been a Foles guy. Look.
No, Ethan, I'm asking you a simple question, Ethan. I let you talk. I didn't say a word. I let you talk. You gave a ridiculous scenario. Now let me come back at you. Since
what is
you,
ridiculous about it?
Well, the very fact that anybody would offer a first and a fourth round pick for a guy who seemingly has torn his knee up and he'll never be the same.
This is Cleveland we're talking about.
Oh, I know it. I know it. I got you. I got you. I got you. But let me get back to my point about Nick Foles. Where were you when Nick Foles played against the Raiders the next day? Where were you at when I was taking phone calls for a full week? I didn't hear from you.
Ike, let me tell you where I was. All right, so this is the Eagles trade Foles back when Chip was here.
No, I'm asking you about. I'm asking you about this. No, I'm asking. No, you don't want to answer my question. I'm asking you, Ethan. Ethan, no, I'm not going to hear you out. I'm asking you a question. Where were you? December 26th.
You didn't call the station and say that.
You didn't call the station and say that.
That was the second game. Come on. What about the Giants game? But when they traded,
That's what I thought. It's easy to have revisionist history now. It's easy to say that today. It's easy to say that after Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. I'm asking you, where were you at when everybody wanted to start Nate Sudfeld instead of Nick Foles?
He's that annoying bartender that thinks he knows everything about sports. But you're sitting there and you're like, man, this guy knows nothing about sports.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking you is, where were you at to defend Nick Foles then?
I know where I was, Ike. I was right here defending
him. Yeah, we were
him.
Right here. Exactly. I didn't hear Ethan back then. No. I didn't hear you, Ethan.
No, we heard Eagles realists.
Yeah.
We were looking for you that day, Ethan.
We're looking for you, Ethan.
Man, unbelievable. 888-729-9494. Coming up, we have more phone calls. And also, we'll wrap up the tattoo.
I want to know all that. I just want to know where everybody was back then.
Even if he was the biggest Nick Foles fan in the world, we just spent 10 years trying to find a franchise quarterback, and we would have given up every draft pick in the world to get a true franchise quarterback, and they got him in Carson Wentz. And I'm not being fooled by Nick Foles to trade Carson Wentz.
Let me ask
and
this
now they're
question.
In the Eagles. Yeah.
If the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl, would we be having this discussion?
Of course not.
Now let's say Nick got him to the Super Bowl. Let's say he got him to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Patriots. And Nick had the same game that he had and they lost.
No.
Would anybody be saying we should be trading Carson Wentz and Nick should be our starting quarterback?
Very few people would be saying it. And I probably wouldn't take them seriously either.
Yeah, I don't think many people would be saying it.
No, probably not.
I mean, listen, winning the Super Bowl changes a lot for everyone. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here, to keep
the perspective.
I'm tired of being the voice of reason.
I know, man, but
it's
a tough burden to have to shoulder, but I'm used to it.
And my shoulder hurts from that tattoo.
I'm used to it. I went through the Chip Kelly reinventing football.
Oh.
I went through Sam Bradford. I trading Shady. He was garbage when we traded him.
Deshaun's
a gangbanger. Yeah, I went through all that. I get it. I went through it. I do it every offseason.
This offseason, it's Foles against Wentz.
Yeah, this offseason, we win a Super Bowl, and I'm thinking we're going to be lollipops and flowers around here. Now we're trading Carson Wentz.
Dude, I told you. I said it to you yesterday. If you think that it's going to be peaches and cream come football season, you're in the wrong damn city.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.